fathers in the field ministry to join us for that upstairs. And I told Doug this is nothing that we have to sell. Amen? It is very, very near to the heart of God. My only concern isn't that I have to sell it, but the enemy might be lying to you about whether you could help. If you know Jesus as the Lord of your life, and by the time this message is done today, you should. Seriously. If that's not something you got settled out, you can get that settled today. But if you do, you have a lot to offer. So I want to encourage you to think about that. And thank you, Doug, for being here today. And I just want to encourage you to pray for him, pray for the ministry. I'm going to make that part of my opening prayer today. And if you would turn to Matthew chapter 7, wow. I see a little context today because I'm going to invite you to pray with me because obviously I need it every Sunday. And there are some Sundays that God cloaks me in more weakness than average for his glory. And about 10 days ago, it was a Wednesday morning, if I remember correctly, got up, and my wife had not been feeling well since Monday night. We got up Wednesday morning on that day, and she couldn't move. She had been sick, and she had gotten really sick. And, I mean, she couldn't move. I had to help her into the bathroom. I had to help her get around. And for the first time in almost 41 years of marriage, my wife said, I think I need to go to the emergency room. I was really glad when she said that because I knew I couldn't hardly help her, and I knew she was really sick. And so we went to the ER, and you know how it is. You spend quite a bit of time in those places, but they hooked her up to an IV and did a little nose swab thing, and she had that influenza A, and my wife has this crazy strong immune system because she deals with an autoimmune disease with this MS, and so she hardly gets anything. But it hit her, and it had started to hit me about that same day, and it's kind of she's 4 or 5 days ahead of me in this thing, but it's, the real influenza A I don't know if I've ever actually had the flu before now. I'm like, whoa, I think I might have just been a wimp. But it's crazy hard. But what I'm going to share with you today, every morning during this flu fog, I would meet with the Lord, and he would pour out his presence and his word. I'm here today to pour that out here, but I need you to pray with me because his word, I'm literally going to share with you at least 100 scriptures today. So you're going to need help too, right? Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father God, we come before your throne. And God, I'm mindful of the timing today. The fathers in the field are here, but it's because of you, God. You are ever expanding our ministry. You're ever showing us more and more of your heart and the opportunities. The fields are white unto harvest. And you have called us in this day, in this time, to impact this world. And God, even as that man in that testimony, we don't have to have much, but if we have Jesus, we have enough. And God, today I pray you would quicken men's hearts to be part of this great harvest, to reach out to the fatherless. The fields are white all around us. There's need everywhere. And God, I pray today you'd quicken hearts for that. And then, oh God, I pray today you would strengthen us today to receive your word, that God, we would know what it is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Oh God, I pray there would not be a single person leave this place today that the kingdom of God would not come into their heart in power. And God, I pray that all of us that are here today that know you as Lord would be encouraged today to preach the gospel of the kingdom in a fallen world. Strengthen us, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. A few weeks ago, I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks now, I don't remember, I preached a message on, are we raising gangsters or heroes? Are we raising the many or the few? And in that context, most of that message was about our youth. Are we raising youth that can stand up and be a part of the few? In Matthew 7, 13, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many There's many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Many. Today, I want to help you a little bit with the context of this message. This is Jesus' first sermon, right? Who was Jesus? He was Emmanuel, God with us. John chapter 1 said he was the Word, right? And he was the Word, and he came and dwelt amongst us. He was the Word. And so when the Word, when God came to earth after 400 years of silence, he had a message to preach. And he begins that message in the very first verse talking about the kingdom of God. John the Baptist introduced that Jesus was going to come, and he was the forerunner, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And Jesus came preaching the kingdom, amen? And so he came preaching the kingdom, and the whole first sermon's about the kingdom. And then at the end of this first sermon, 400 years of silence, and the heart of Jesus first paints a picture for us. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many there go down that path. And narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. What do you think the heart of God on earth is preaching? What is he proclaiming right there? There's a great crisis. And the people that he loves so much, the majority, the vast many, are going to spend forever in a Christless hell. I want you to have that image in mind. And this is the first sermon after 400 years of silence. And what is the heart cry of Jesus? He's given him a picture. Now he takes him to a scene. It's not a picture. It's an actual revelation of a scene of an actual event. In Matthew 7, verse 21, as he's closing up his first sermon, "Not everyone who says to me," 7:21, "Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Again, the same word in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, many. Many, as in not just a few, right? "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, to the many, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I wrote this in a flu fog one morning. What does Emmanuel scream about here? Because that's the energy in which Jesus is preaching and proclaiming from the heavens. This is a heart cry of God. The many. Who is this? Who are these people? It's the many. I thought about this many on the broad path. You know, I know I came from a particular group that we like to think that we were like the, you know, there were some people in our group that used to say, you know, there's a lot of people go to heaven, but our particular denomination, you know, those people might be going in a Volkswagen, we're going in a Cadillac. You know, in other words, everybody's getting there. We're just doing it the best way. But that's not what the scripture teaches. Few there be to find it. And there are many Muslims, amen, that are not going to heaven. How many? Billions. Buddhists? No. Hindus? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through many." But that's not the crisis he's talking about here. Of all the many, there is the many that breaks the heart of God more than all of those. And all of those break the heart of God. Amen? All of them do. But what breaks the heart of God most? It's the many in which you and I are called to do ministry. It's the many that preach, prophesy in the name of Jesus. Those that do wonders in the name of Jesus. Those that cast out demons in the name of Jesus. The many that breaks the heart of God is those who have a faith in Christ, but the kingdom has not come in them. That's the greatest crisis that Jesus could preach about, and it was first on his heart. There's no king in their kingdom. How do we know that? They say, "Lord, Lord," and they don't do the will of their Father in heaven. We live in the land of the many. Just above that, the last verse before that, verse 20 says, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." We know, right? The majority of people in our country confess, profess, proclaim that Jesus is Lord, but you shall know them by their what? That tells me, if you back up and read what Jesus said in Matthew 23, if your eye is bad, your whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness, right? So if you live in a land of people who believe in Jesus, but they don't live in the kingdom, how great is what? There is no greater darkness. And that's why he preaches about this instead of all the other many ways in which people fall. We live in the land of the many. This week I was listening to a Christian radio thing, and there was a man and a woman that were hosting this, and they were saying, for instance, this is just a discussion over Christian radio, not a particular station that I usually listen to, but this came up. The discussion came up between this man and woman they were hosting that, well, how do you find a good church? And the guy was like, well, yeah, that's a great question. And she said, well, you know, there's been some research done. I just read recently. And the way that most people look for a good church, and she said, I'm kind of promoting this, is that you find a place where, you know, they got, for instance, the best children's ministry. And you find a place where they're going to meet the needs of your children and really help you raising children. We're really big on raising children here, right? Amen? And the other guy said, well, you know, I kind of try to find a place where I get that good vibe. You know, I really feel connected. I get a good vibe about the place. And they went on to have this discussion, and I wanted to scream. What's missing in that discussion? There's no king. There's no king. Not even a hint, not even a word of, well, listen, I gave my life to Jesus. He is building his church. I need to submit to him and ask, where does he want me to go as I'm offering this living sacrifice to him? There's no mention, there's no king in our gospel. I want you to help me do something, by the way, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. I mean this because this is the kind of thing that I need. I need those obvious things. You know, it's the real obvious things that I need to understand. If there's no king in the kingdom, there's no kingdom. How simple is that, right? The right answer to that is not amen. It's duh. Right? You'd be surprised how many times I've learned something and God's like, duh. So help me with that, okay? We're going to start on the west side here because you need to say it with some attitude. If there's no king in the kingdom, there's no kingdom. There was a couple of good attitudes there. You sort of get it. I'm going to go to the middle. If there's no king in the kingdom, there's no kingdom. Yeah. Now we're going to go with the east side, which I'm really expecting it to be a dull duh. You got the most teenagers? They get it, right? Duh! Like, duh! Okay, guys, I know you're older, but I think you can outdo them. If there's no king in the kingdom, there's no kingdom. Okay, yeah. So now we're going to go back to the west side because they were like asleep. If there's no king in the kingdom, there's no kingdom. No. Now everybody, if there's no king in the kingdom, there's no kingdom. No. It's the truth, right? The only reason God had us do that is because it needs to be glaringly obvious to us. We're preaching a gospel without the kingdom. And from the very beginning, it was all set up. Remember what Pilate asked Jesus? Are you king? What did he say? Yes. For this cause I came. And he came to set up the kingdom of God. And he told his disciples, the kingdom of God is in the hearts of men. Don't look for it out there. And so, by the way, when people say to you, you're praying for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, he's not praying for that skinny little time called the millennial reign. He's praying for the kingdom of God to come in the hearts of men. And for people, Matthew 7:21, to do the will of God because he is ruling in them as what? King. To you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You are the temples of God. Individually, each one of you have to surrender the throne of your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord. But the problem is, we live in a no king. We live in a no king gospel country. There's no king in the kingdom. We believe in Jesus. How many people, how many of the many do you know who believe in Jesus? But there's no king in the gospel. There's no king in them. They say, Lord, Lord, like it's his middle name. And there's no king. The many, they should be before your face even now. And I know there, for some reason, really this week, the Lord quickened my heart. There are going to be some of the many that are going to hear this either over the internet or some other way. Listen, if you're part of the many that believe in Jesus, I feel for you. But you need to repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. These people had a faith in Jesus. They were preaching, proclaiming in his name. They were praying, casting out demons. They were doing wonders in his name. These are people who believe in Jesus. You see, wait a minute, if you believe you're saved, listen, you have to believe to be saved. But I love the way John Piper put it. He said, you have to have faith in Christ crucified. You have to have faith to receive what he did for you. It's free. You can't earn it. Amen? But then you also have to have the faith to surrender the very throne of your heart in a personal way to Jesus Christ as Lord. This will cost you everything. That is free. This will cost you. And today we don't preach the whole gospel. We preach one half. Because there's a lot of people running around saying Jesus is Lord, and they are in the deepest darkness there is. They're part of the many, and it breaks God's heart because they're on the way, and then they stop short of surrender. And they don't, what's it say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the kingdom wasn't in them. Why was the kingdom, how do you know the king's not in them? Because they're not doing what? The will of my Father. We live in a country without the gospel of the king. I want you to, by the way, I did a little research this week because we in America are allergic to the concept of a king. We don't like it. We're Americans, right? And so if I were to talk to you about, do we even understand what a monarch is? If you were to do a little Google study of monarchs and how many countries in our world are ruled by a monarch, well, I read a Washington Post study this week about that, and there's like 25 countries in the world that are rule, or well, who have monarchs. I won't say ruled, but they have monarchs, kings. The vast majority of those have those kings and queens and rulers in name only. That rang a bell with me. That's really common. There's not very many countries that do, but most of those that do, they rule in what? Name only. Does that sound familiar? Right? And so, The way that the Washington Post designated or separated those countries in which a king actually ruled is they used the word reign. When there was a king that actually reigned, and by the way, the only place in the world that this is consistently happening is in the Middle East and in the oil countries. It's all about families and controlling money, and they reign. What does that mean, reign? They own everything and everybody, right? That's what it means. And so I want you to think about this because we need to understand that. When we say that Jesus is king and we sing that, I want you to think about it this way. That's you elevating and lifting him up in his position in heaven, seated on the throne where God has placed him. He is the King of Kings. Amen? Okay, when you say he's the Lord, you've taken that position and now you've applied it to your life. And now he's in you as your personal king. Now the king is now your what? He's your Lord. And if he's truly your Lord, that means he reigns. He reigns in absolute power over your life. Do you understand now why it suddenly got very narrow? How many people actually are saved? And how many people call him Lord? It just got really narrow. And if the kingdom of God is not in you, you will not enter the kingdom of God for eternity. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And our missional context, what we are called to do is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God in a land of many. Many believers. And by the way, it's not an innocent many. Oh, there are some. There are some that just never knew they needed to surrender to Jesus. But it's not that easy, is it? When Jesus came preaching and teaching, he was rock star popular when he was being the Savior and delivering them, right? But when he came to the preaching on the cost, what happened to the many?
That was it. They abandoned him, and eventually they got so upset with him, they told Pilate, "We have no king except Caesar." They rejected him, and they rebelled against him, and they crucified him. It is never held innocently. The natural man has enmity against God. The chief priest screamed, "We have no king but Caesar." They would rather have the wicked oppression, the abuse, the slavery, the spiritual adultery, the spiritual idolatry, the disdain and the disgrace. They were a despised nation, treated with less dignity than animals, and yet they would rather have that than surrender as slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seems silly, right? I tell you, my heart breaks as a pastor. You know how much I've seen people go through, and they still won't surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. They'd rather have any level of bondage and destruction in their life, any level of pain and suffering and darkness and fears, but they don't want that one thing. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You cannot fake rain. And I'm not talking about this kind of rain. I'm talking about the reign of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord. Did you make the mistake, and I say this intentionally, and I know it'll make some of you mad, but did you make the mistake of asking Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior? Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that in you is a courtyard with a cross. It says in the deepest place of your temple, there's a what? In the Holy of Holies, there's a throne. You are the temple of God. You are meant to be indwelled by Jesus Christ. But when you ask him in, he can only come in one way, and that is what? As the Lord. You're a temple. You're made for the dwelling place of Jesus as the Lord of your life, or he does not come in. But we come along. I say we because I used to preach this. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're saved, you're good to go, without even acknowledging the fact that you can't receive him as this meek and mild lamb. You have to receive him as the risen King who owns you. You have to surrender everything to him. And what happens in that other gospel is you give Jesus a little room in your house. You know, you might even call it your prayer closet. You put a little banner over says, "This is Jesus's room," and you visit him when you need stuff. That's not what the temple is. The temple has one purpose. It's the dwelling place of the King. You're the temples of the living God. So in my flu fog this week, the Lord kept telling me, just exalt me as King. So I want you to help me do this. Let's lift up our King. And when we get done lifting up our King, then you can ask, is that King in residence here? And literally, what I'm about to share with you, you're going to have to hang on, because there's literally hundreds of verses. Do you know my King today? I want to boast in my King today. He was in the beginning, and in the beginning, he was the Word, and he was with God, and he was the Word, and he was God. That's my King. Do you know him? And all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him we live and move and have our being. He upholds all things by the word of his power, all things, and he who is the star breather, he's the one who dwells on this throne. Do you know him? I'm just getting warmed up. There's so many things that God began to pour in my heart. I lay there in a flu, and I was thinking, oh my God, you are so amazing. You are the beginning. You are creation's author, life's giver, life's sustainer. You're my King and my Lord. He alone is your story writer. He alone is your creator. He alone knit the miracle of you together. He alone did this in a secret place, in a time before time. He alone saw you before you were even substance. He fashioned you alone. He wrote the days of your story, skillfully wrought you were. He did this. He's your soul maker, kidney designer, heartbeats, energizer, neurons, transmitter, masterpieces, builder. If that's true for you today, then you can proclaim with me, that's my King. Can you do that? So we're gonna get going here. I'm just warming you up because where the Lord started pouring in me hundreds of verses, and I'm gonna give you a break and you can say, That's my king. That's my king. Morning after morning, he visited me. Let me get going. He is the only soul saver, justice maker, penalty payer, nail eater, blood letter, wrath drinker, debt payer, forgiveness forgiver, forgiveness forger. He is what? That's my king. He is the tomb overcomer, chain breaker, demon melter, Satan defeater, devil's crusher, bondage melter, grave opener, death destroyer. He's what? He's my king. Morning after morning, just pouring stuff out. The next morning, he said this. He is the wave walker, storm stiller, peace ruler, cancer healer, minds renewer, sickness ender, soul rester. He is a thought capturer, weapon wielder, sword speaker. He is a fear destroyer, and he's a stronghold. I forgot that last part. He's a high priest, sprinkler, a blood cleanser, a life giver. He's a hardened hearts breaker, a veil parter. He's the holy of holies lighter. He's the fountain of life's river. He is the temple constructor. He is the Shekinah glory filler. What's that? That's my king. He is a wisdom bringer. He's a truth teller. He's a light bearer. He's a way maker. He's an upward caller. He's a cause sender. He's a preacher's preacher and a word gifter. Is that your king? Is it? Do you know him? He is the ever-living intercessor, the guilty man's mediator, the pardoned man's confessor, the new man's representer. He is heaven's weeper, anguishes, screamer, holy passions inflamer. He's a mercy's crier and sings long-sufferer. What is he? He's a fallow ground plower, a seed sower, a rainwater, a vineyard keeper, a fruit yielder. He's eternal life multiplier, harvest reaper. He is a grain thresher and the true disciple's teacher. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's what? He is the sinking soul's lifter, the confused man's counselor, the destitute man's provider, the dreaming man's weaver, the every man's planner, the every servant's master, the perplexed man's answer. He's what? And to these precious children we're trying to raise, he is the Abba Father. He is our children's protector. He is in any storm standing house builder. He's an eternal legacy lever. He's an orphan's defender, a widow's cover, a single mother's sanctifier, a warrior raiser, and a hero maker. This is my love story. He is the divine romancer, the love poem writer. He is love story's author. He's the betrothed bride's lover. He's the marriage covenant keeper. He's the bride's kinsman redeemer, the great cost. He's the bride's purchaser, purifier. He's the bride's cover and the bride's rover. And at the great marriage supper of the Lamb, he will be your groom and greeter. And to his great joy, he will be our glory's unveiler, our bride presenter, and our lead celebrator. And he will sing over you, a singer and slow dancer, because he's what? He's my king. And even now, he's building the miracle of his church. He's a body builder, a living stone layer, the gift giver, a diversity's weaver, a masterpiece painter, enmities eraser, every part's edifier, a unity bringer. He's what? And in this vineyard, we are the branches, and he is the vine dresser, the life pruner, sin's purger, the fox chaser, the vineyard's hedger, the branch grafter, and he's the much life multiplier. He's eternal fruit gatherer. That's my king. And the end is coming. And the one that's the Alpha is also the Omega. He is the end bringer, the curtain closer. He is Jacob's troubler, the earth shaker, the mountain trembler, the scorpion sender, the Antichrist conqueror. He's the rebel's consumer, the stiff-necked breaker, the earth melter. He's the white horse rider, the fire breather, the wrath pourer, the sword wielder, and the judgment bringer. And the next morning, he started me going down another path. He's the prodigal seeking, forgiveness running, soul hunting, arms embracing, fatted calf killing, party throwing. He's my king. And he's building an army because the time is short. He's a warrior enlisting, king's army building, tactic teaching, battlefield marshaling, soldier equipping, armor issuing, order giving, course plotting, way making, foe vanquishing, sword wielding, white horse riding, trumpet blowing, victory shouting, ground taking, high places, ground shaking, high places leveling, turf taking, wall tipping, demon melting, serpent smashing, devil stomping, head crushing, Satan casting, every power-conquering king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I only gave you the first half of the week. But when you get done seeing a tiny glimpse of what we know, I want to boast in my King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Hosts. You go back to Matthew 7, verse 21, it says this, and everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, do you understand how cheap that is? That's not his middle name. If he does not reign in you, own you, if you have not surrendered to him in trembling, if you do not live the kingdom, if you're not living in the presence of the king, then you are not preaching the kingdom of God. Because you cannot preach what you are not living. And so when you say, Lord, Lord, that's why it's the greatest crisis in the Bible, because you're in the greatest darkness and you're leading other people down the same path. I worry about my grandkids getting snake bit by this many. These evil who would say, Lord, Lord, and not live the kingdom of God. It's the greatest danger on earth. Be better if they were raised in a Muslim country than be raised in a place where people say, Lord, Lord, he's not. Do we understand the crisis? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and they're doing these things in the name of Jesus. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know what lawlessness is? It's really simple. It's a no king faith in Jesus Christ. That you practice day in and day out all the way until you meet him. It's just a lifestyle of believing in Jesus, but there's no king. You're not subject to his will. You don't live a surrendered life. And you're living the lie that it's your life and now you own a savior and he is bound to follow you wherever you go. It is as common. I mean, it's just many today. It's the majority. What message does your life scream? Does your life scream, Jesus reigns? Or are you part of the many that want to proclaim and praise Jesus as your Savior? As I said before, you have a great big Savior and an itty-bitty Lord. If there's no king in your kingdom, there's no kingdom. And if there's no kingdom in your kingdom, there's no kingdom, and there's no kingdom in you. Please be clear. There is no negotiated surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. It is just lawlessness. I want to beg you today, if you have never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, and if you're not continuing to walk with him, as Lord, escape the many. Call me John the Baptist, that crazy man in the wilderness just screaming, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It doesn't have to be fancy. You just need to run. You just surrender everything to the King who upholds all things by the word of his power, the star breather, the creator, the one who is in majesty seated above. And every single knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to fall down before him and say, Lord, take this miserable life. I'm giving it to you. And you need to live with Jesus Christ as King. Your whole being needs to scream a living boast in your King. You need to embrace surrender. You need to escape the religion of our world, the toxic deception of if the light that is in you, how great is that darkness? And you need to run to Jesus. And if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord, preach the gospel of the kingdom of God without apology. Expect people around you to come to a crisis of understanding that they need Jesus as Lord.
Lead them, teach them, show them what it is to live in the presence of a king. And I'm going to have Pastor Fidelis come and close today. I ran out of gas halfway through, but the Spirit of God is still moving. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for your word. And God, I'm so mindful of what Jesus led us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I'm so aware that your kingdom cannot come in the hearts of men who reject the king. And your will cannot be done here on earth by men who are not subject to Jesus as king. It's not possible. So God, I pray today that you would fulfill your heart's desire, what you have led your own son to pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom would come in every heart here, that the king in all of his glory, the majesty, the Lord of lords, the King of kings would come into his rightful place in every heart here today. God, they would escape the many. They would be the few that find life. God, I pray today against that demonic lie, that spiritual lie, that I have a Savior, I don't need a king. Oh, Jesus, shatter that, lest they come before you and hear those words. Depart from me. I never knew you. God, today I pray that you would tear down every spiritual lie. We would understand we must have a Savior who died for us, but we must receive him as he is today, the King of kings. God, I pray your kingdom would come here in power. Jesus, we love you. Amen. Because he is the divine romancer, because he's building his church, because he's so made us to dwell in us, and he draws us into this kingdom relationship. It can't be a bigger deal. But this moment of the beginning of that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Again, both elements of the gospel. You got to believe that Christ died for you, but you must confess. That is a very loaded term. It's what we've already been talking about today. It means that you have given him the lordship of your life. There is a public confession of that with a mouth that begins this journey. And I have to take this opportunity, if today's the day that God is telling you, stand in the presence of God and witnesses and confess me as Lord. If he's asking you to do that today, if he's Lord, do it. Do it. He's the king. Before him, do it. In presence of majesty, in trembling and obedience to him, do it. If that's what God has asked you today, do it. And then, friends, if you're a Christian today, live your confession. Every day, let your life be a daily confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You can't preach what you're not proclaiming with your feet. Father God, I thank you today. And if there's anybody here today that needs to publicly confess you, God, I pray that even now they would walk up here and they'd say, this is the day that I'm surrendering the throne of my heart to Jesus Christ. And God, for the rest of us, God, I pray that you would help us to exalt you as King. And to preach the majesty, the privilege of living a surrendered life in the presence of the star breather. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.